Welcome to another Northwest Herald Football Podcast, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake. I'm Northwest Herald sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond, and sports editor Kyle Neighbors is indisposed at the moment, so Sean and I, we're going to play a man down here today, and I think we can handle it.
We'll do the best we can.
Well, we have two area teams advancing to the playoff quarterfinals, Prairie Ridge in 6A, Marion Central in 5A. Prairie Ridge won last week in spectacular fashion, 17-13 over Cary Grove, while Marion handled Glenbard South 38-24. Not a big surprise there. The Hurricanes returned to the quarterfinals about like we thought they would. And last week we bid farewell also to Johnsburg and Richmond Burton, who both lost in Class A. Sean, we have to start this week with the Prairie Ridge game. I think sometimes the adjective in these days gets overused, but that was certainly epic.
It was absolutely epic. I mean, Kyle and I were both at this game, and I'm sure most of our listeners know what happened and saw Samson Evans' 66-yard touchdown run with 7 seconds on the clock. Yeah, me and Kyle were looking at each other like, what the heck just happened? That was wild. Yeah. This was a classic Cary Grove Prairie Ridge game. It was a defensive struggle for a while. They were muddy, and it was a physical battle.
It sounds like one of these games that anybody who was there will be talking about it for years and years to come. Instantly goes right into on the list of the greatest area games we've ever anybody's ever seen around here.
Yeah, I haven't been around here as long as you, but I mean that was certainly the best game I've seen in the last 2 years.
Well, my buddy Sam Natrop, who's a Crystal Lake South parent, was on the field helping out a photographer, John Constantaris, and he calls me at the end of the game, and I thought at that point I was driving back from Peoria in the state cross country meet, and I was kind of checking to see what was going on in the game, and I saw that Cary had gone up with a minute to go, and I thought it was over. I thought he was calling me. Holy cow, Cary pulled it off, and he goes, "Man, Samson just went 70 yards." I'm like, "No way!" And it was, yeah, what a crazy finish. He said it was the best finish he'd ever seen.
Yeah, and anybody listening, if you haven't seen the video, you know, go out and find it because it's incredible. Ben Farrell scored the touchdown for Cary Grove with 59 seconds on the clock. They went up 3 points at that point, the Trojans did. And Prairie Ridge just, you know, they threw a couple of passes. They were trying to move down the field, and that's just not what they do. You know, you could tell they weren't clicking. They did pick up a first down, but then there's 19 seconds left. It's first and 10, and they got 66 yards to go. And, you know, Coach Shrimp said afterwards, and Kyle wrote this in his story, that he figured, well, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down with our best players and our best play. And it's that same play we talked about last year in the state championship game against Sacred Heart Griffin, where lineman Jeff Jenkins leaks out to the side, and Samson just follows him. And that's exactly what they did. And if you think about it, you know, it's pretty bold call to call a running play with 19 seconds on the clock. But, you know, I like the thinking there, like go down with your best players and your best play. And
absolutely,
it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what a heartbreaking loss for Cary Grove. I mean, I think we were all thinking this could be a good game, but still thinking that Prairie Ridge was going to win maybe by a touchdown or two. I know that's what I thought. And I didn't mean no disrespect to Cary Grove. Prairie Ridge is just that good. But for Cary Grove to get that close, that's really got to be a heartbreaker for them.
Yeah. And, you know, I've watched the video a million times, and I remember being there on Saturday and just looking at their stands after Ben Farrell scored that touchdown. It was crazy. Like, you know, people were jumping up and down like wild, and just looking at their faces afterwards too, you know, those Cary Grove players, they left it all out there, and that was, you know, there was mud all over the place, and they're crying, and it's tough, man. That was, you saw both sides of it. There were guys crying on both sidelines after that game, one side in joy and one side not so much. And yeah, that was just a wild game. We, Joe, you and I talked about this, and we should probably mention it at least, you know, looking back on that video. I'm sure Cary Grove people have definitely pointed this out to us on Twitter and stuff. And, you know, maybe Jeff Jenkins could have been called for a hold on there. I don't know. You know, probably could have. It wasn't called.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those that could go either way, and they let it go. I'm always of the opinion that In basketball, a foul's a foul. It doesn't matter if it's the end, it's still a foul. And you know, it would be the same case here that if it's a penalty, it's a penalty. But, yeah, maybe he got away with one there. I was talking to somebody this week, too, that was at the game. He said the sway of emotion from one side, what you were talking about, from one side to the other side of the field in like a minute's time was just amazing because Cary Grove thought, you know, their fans thought they had it. Thought they had the upset, thought they were moving on and then they were just crushed.
Yeah.
And Prairie Ridge went from being crushed to the elation. So that had to be just crazy.
We were watching this, we were standing on the Prairie Ridge side and yeah, man, after Cary Grove scored, you could have heard a pin drop on that side of the field. It was not a good atmosphere over there.
Yeah.
But it's incredible what they were able to do there and like you said, how that changed the emotions for both sides.
Could this be, we talked about this before, could this be Prairie Ridge's biggest hurdle at getting to DeKalb because of Cary Grove's familiarity with their personnel, what they want to do? I mean, they've played Sampson, Evans, and these guys for 3 years. They have to know some of the nuances, even if how they line up, maybe what they're going to do on that play. And they know the option so well because they run it too. Both teams know each other so well that they defend it well. Could this be their biggest hurdle getting to DeKalb?
Yeah, you're talking about this second round matchup.
Right.
Definitely think that was their toughest, I don't know, maybe some of these teams up ahead, maybe Willowbrook or whoever is potentially after that.
Hoffman Estates at 9-2 and Belvedere North at 7-4 are on the other side of the the winner of that would be the semifinal opponent. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Nobody knows Prairie Ridge's offense like Cary Grove. I definitely think that's this was probably the toughest game they're going to get here. You know, who knows what's going to happen down the road, but
yeah,
man, right. to be down 3 points, when's the last time Prairie Ridge trailed a game in the last minute? I mean,
probably Montini.
Yeah, probably.
It had to be Montini 2 years ago in the semifinals when that was their last loss. So Sean, you still have not seen Prairie Ridge lose.
I still have not seen them lose in my nearly two football seasons here.
Yeah. So, well, Marion makes it to the Marion has not made it past the quarterfinals since 2007. That was John Budmeyer's junior year. John Budmeyer, Sean, you weren't here yet. You were still in high school, I think, at the time. But went on and played at Wisconsin and is a coach at Wisconsin now. And Sterling made it to the quarters last year. That was for the first time since 2006, but fell to Sycamore. I believe that was in overtime. So that's our matchup in 5A in the quarterfinal. Marion at a 14 seed at 7-4, riding that 5-game winning streak. Sterling 11-0. So, what do you think of Marion getting what Marion did here last week to beat Glenbard South to get to this point?
Well, it's nice to see them put up a big number like 38, a lot of points on offense, and that's definitely good to see. They're still rolling. Coach Mike Maloney said after that game that he still doesn't think they're playing their best football, which is a good thing. Yeah, I mean, sort of. You know, that
right.
means they can exactly. still improve, and there's areas where they can get better. And 264 rushing yards in that game last week. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and it was a little more spread out too. It wasn't just all Gavin Scott last week. They had some other guys that Patsy Riccardi had quite a few. I'm trying to think who else. Charlie Kramer had two rushing touchdowns, but he didn't run for a lot of yards. But it was good to see. And looked like, I mean, they were up 38-17 and the Raiders then scored their last touchdown in the fourth quarter. So Marion looked like it had this one in hand pretty well.
Yeah, definitely.
Most of the way.
They played a good second half, and you can tell just by looking at how that second half played out with the score there.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake are proud sponsors of today's podcast. And here's some information. You can earn loyalty points at B-Dubs. Just sign up for the Blazing Rewards program and start earning points on every purchase you make. And right now, you can earn extra points by eating items like the Cali Chicken Sandwich, Fiesta Pork Tacos, and more. Order online for easy pickup. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin on Randall Road or in Crystal Lake on Route 14 across from Sam's Club. In Class 4A, our number one seed, Johnsburg, fell to number nine, Rochelle, 35-16. Sean, you and I saw this game, and it just looked like the Skyhawks weren't in sync like normal on Saturday night. I have to hand it to Rochelle, because for what I saw, that was a really a big line and a powerful running game, and really did what it wanted to do Saturday night.
Yeah, Rochelle's got some big kids, and they have some not just their linemen up front, but you know, a couple of those kids carrying the ball are some
215 you know, pounds. I think Brandon Johnson.
Yeah, number 35. If anyone was at that game,
yeah,
he's a big kid. He had a lot of rushing yards. Yeah, the Johnsburg offense just didn't look right. You know, they weren't really connecting, especially in that first half. You know, they scored. It was weird. They scored really fast, and in my head, I'm like, oh man, are they about to blow this open? They scored within the first 2 minutes of the game, and then after that, they just really weren't connecting, and turnovers hurt them in this game. They had four turnovers total. Adam Jaco threw three interceptions, which is as many as he threw in the previous 10 games.
Right. Yeah.
Really, the defense kept them in this game for so long, and then I think just after a while, you know, they just got tired. You know, it's hard to stop the defense was on the field so much in this game, and it's hard to stop a power attack like that when you're not getting very much time to rest in between possessions.
I think the Northern Illinois Big 12 it really helped Rochelle too, because when you look at that, look at the top half of Class 4A. Now Rochelle goes and plays Morris, another NIB 12 team, and Chicago Raby, which beat Richmond Burton, plays Dixon, another NIB 12 team. So I think that helped Rochelle a little bit. Rochelle also played Johnsburg early in the year, so they're getting a second shot at him. They knew a little bit more about him. Plus, playing a lot of tough teams like Morris and some of them probably helped them.
Yeah, and Rochelle coach Kevin Crandall said afterwards that after the Johnsburg game, that the first time they played, it was way back in week two, and he said his secondary was mostly new coming into this year. And, you know, when you're going against an attack like Johnsburg, you know, they got beat on some big plays. And he said that, you know, he really thought his secondary has improved over the last 10 weeks or so. And, you know, they knew what was coming, obviously, going into this week, having seen Johnsburg already.
Also in Class 4A, as we mentioned, Richmond Burton lost to Chicago Raby. The Rockets led that game 18-14 at halftime, but quarterback Tyshawn Turnipseed. I just wanted to say that name again. It's just a fun name to say, Sean.
We know you like Turnipseed, that.
Turnipseed, yes. He and his teammates took over in the second half for a 36-18 win. Junior Mike Kaufman had another big game for the Rockets, but they just couldn't stop the Raiders in the second half.
Yeah, Richmond jumped out to a 12-0 lead in this game. You know, it was a good run. I think, you know, we thought maybe this Raby team would we were a little bit surprised, Kyle and I, when we were checking scores to see that they were up at halftime, and we were like, oh man, you know, look what Richmond's doing. They just couldn't finish it out, and that's tough, you know. But they've had a good run the last couple of weeks, and you know, towards the end of the regular season. And yeah, Mike Kaufman, another big game, 135 rushing with one touchdown, I think. It sounds like they couldn't get much going in that second half.
We talked about last week that, you know, Chicago Raby's only loss was a 14-point loss to Phillips, which is so far just mowing through 5A. And so I think that tells you that Raby is a pretty legit team coming out of the Chicago Public League, which sometimes you get those teams, you're happy about it. These guys look like they're pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Richmond's 14 points, that's actually the second most that Raby's given up this year, besides that Phillips game.
Wow, that's impressive. So, okay, Sean, we go on to the quarterfinals. We have number 4 Willowbrook at 10-1 out of the West Suburban Gold. Is that right?
You know, we just talked about this, and I can't remember.
I think it's the West Suburban, that's right. I think the West Suburban Gold. Looking at they have lost. Their only loss was to Hinsdale Central, a pretty good team in Class 8A. A good win there in they won in one week 5 over Hinsdale South, which knocked off Crete Moni on the bottom half of 6A. So that they will come to visit number one Prairie Ridge, 11-0, 1 o'clock on Saturday. What are your thoughts? What's your pick in this game?
Well, you know, just looking at scores, Willowbrook puts up a lot of points, but I don't know what I don't know if they've seen a Prairie Ridge type defense. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what to expect from them because we haven't seen a lot of those opponents that they've played. Just looking at the scores, yeah, they do have a couple of good wins. But I think it's all going to come down to whether they can stop the Prairie Ridge offense and are they prepared for that type of attack and for what Sampson Evans and company are going to bring.
Yeah, I agree with you. Last week it was their opener. They won 44-21 over Deerfield in their first round. Last week they beat DeKalb 29-10. I'm picking the Wolves. I don't see any reason not to pick the Wolves yet.
I'm with you there. I'm going to pick the Wolves too.
They survived that game last week. I think they're on their way to DeKalb eventually. And in 5A, number one Sterling. The Golden Warriors at 11-0 coming to number 14 Marion Central. The Hurricanes finally here in the third week get a home playoff game at 7-4.
7-4, yes.
Yeah. So what do you think of this matchup?
Well, you know, Sterling, certainly you look at their scores, it's impressive on paper. 11-0 and a lot of points and a lot of big wins. And they have one common opponent, which I would take this with a grain of salt. Sterling beat St. Viator 48-0. Marion lost to St. Viator, but that was week six in that little streak there where they were injured and beat up. And
it was just before Gavin had returned, yes.
So yeah. I don't know if that really equates to – I don't know what that means, but I don't know. This is going to be a tough matchup, I think.
I think it is too. You know, I thought St. Viator was a pretty good team, although Marion – like you say, Marion played – the Lions really tough in that game before Gavin had come back. I think if Gavin had been there, they would have won that game. But 48-0. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good team.
That's a margin.
Yeah, pretty good team to be beating like that. So I'm going to pick Sterling in this, but I think it's going to be an interesting game. You'll be out there at George Harding Field on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I will. And is it five in a row now for Marion?
Five in a row. Their last three, and then first two in the playoffs.
I'm going to go with you on this one and pick Sterling, picking against the 5-game winning streak. But you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. But this could be a tough matchup for Marion.
Yeah, it could. So, well, thanks for listening in this week. We will be back next week to talk about the quarterfinals and the upcoming semifinals if we have some teams remaining for that. So thanks for listening in, and thanks again to our sponsor, Buffalo Wild Wings.